song or was it a chant? Let's find out. Must be chant.
I snark, you snark, we all snark for the I snark.
I snark, therefore I am.
To snark or not to snark? That is the question.
Oh, to hell with it. Snark!
Snarks rule. Litter guys drool.
Long live the snark. I am snark. Hear me roar.
Snark
this.
Oh, come on now, son. You can't snark an old snark now.
Oh, snark, snark, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
Oh, snark off, will ya?
Lift high the snark, lift high the roaring snark, proclaim.
What the snark?
Brian Michael Page is I Snark.
This portion of I Snark is brought to you by Whack Jobs. If you twist the writings of the church to satisfy the liberal agenda, you're probably one of those whack jobs. And now, reading the germ so he can be germ-free like me, here's Brian Michael Page.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Hello and welcome to our 174th I Snark Show, Ego Sum Brianis Michaelis Pagina. Some of the busiest times of my life are now past me. One of them is about as high a highlight in my life as they come. Last Saturday, the wedding of my daughter Jessica to her longtime sweetheart Kenny. Nothing could make me prouder than to escort Jessie down the aisle and give her away in marriage. Had a beautiful time. Then just this past Tuesday, my wife had a birthday. Went to Iggy's in Narragansett. Yes, the town that the beer was named after. And we all scoffed down some killer seafood. Got some help, of course, from a couple of free dinner coupons. Hey, gotta go where the bargains are, right? We followed that with a little trip that my wife didn't expect. We followed US 1 from Narragansett to the Connecticut border, through the village of Mystic in the town of Stonington, before hopping back onto I-95 and to a place we haven't been in about 2 years, Ocean Beach, down at the tip of New London. Beautiful beach with a boardwalk, arcade, mini golf, and even a workout world. They even do now beach blanket movies on Tuesday nights. This week was Romeo and Juliet, which we skipped. You know, wife says, nah, I'm good. I pretty much said the same thing. She did kick all three of our butts in mini golf, and she was the only one not to get a hole in one. My son Brian aced twice. My daughter Brittany aced on one hole. I aced on a hole. But my wife managed to beat us all. Speaking of my daughter Brittany, she's been up to her hiney in softball. She even has a tournament this weekend coming. And in the midst of all that, I did three funerals in a six-day span. And unlike most parishes, we're going to talk about this in another show, I actually get to turn down requests if they don't seem kosher. On today's show, we're going to talk about the chants, because the GIRM, the germ, the General Instruction of the Roman Missal, says so, and how one diocesan website turned the germ's wording around a bit. But first, the Jungle Screechers is here.
Feast for the week! Feast for the week!
Thank you, Jungle Screechers! On today's feast for the next 2 weeks, we are going to finish off the month of July. This will include some feasts that you might just have missed. Not by much, just enough to say you missed them, you know? But we're going to include them anyways. Okay, and these are feasts for the Extraordinary Form, the Ordinary Form, and the Anglican Use. So we start with Monday, July 18th, in the Extraordinary Form and the Ordinary Form, St. Camillus de Lellis, Confessor, third class in the Extraordinary Form, optional memorial in the Ordinary Form. Also in the extraordinary form, there's a low mass commemoration of Saint Symphorosa and her seven sons, all of them martyrs. And in the Anglican use, Feria. Tuesday, July 19th, my wife's birthday. Happy birthday, honey. In the extraordinary form, Saint Vincent de Paul, confessor. In the ordinary form and Anglican use, Feria. Wednesday the 20th, in the extraordinary form, St. Jerome Emiliani, a confessor, third class. Low Mass commemoration also of St. Margaret, virgin and martyr. Then in the ordinary form and Anglican use, St. Apollinarius, bishop and martyr, optional memorial. This is a feast, by the way, that will be celebrated a Saturday the 23rd in the extraordinary form. Thursday, July 21st, in all three forms, St. Lawrence of Brindisi, confessor and doctor of the church. That's a third class in the extraordinary form, and in the other two forms, optional memorial. Also in the extraordinary form, there's a low mass commemoration of St. Proxedes, a virgin. Friday the 22nd, in all three forms, St. Mary Magdalene, penitent. Third class in the extraordinary form, and memorial in the ordinary form and Anglican use. Saturday the 23rd, in the extraordinary form, St. Apollinarius, third class. It's a feast that the ordinary form just celebrated on Wednesday the 20th. Low Mass commemoration of St. Laborius, bishop and confessor. And that's also in the extraordinary form. Now, in the Anglican use, there's St. Bridget of Sweden, religious. The ordinary form celebrates that as an optional memorial, and also the Blessed Virgin Mary on Saturday. Sunday the 24th, extraordinary form, 6th Sunday after Pentecost, ordinary form in Anglican use, 17th Sunday of ordinary time. Or simply put, Sunday XVII. Monday the 25th, all three forms, St. James the Apostle. This is a second class in the extraordinary form. In the ordinary form, in Anglican use, this is celebrated as a feast. Also in the extraordinary form, there's a low mass commemoration of the martyr St. Christopher. Tuesday the 26th, in the extraordinary form, St. Anne, mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is a second class. And in the ordinary form, in Anglican use, both of Mary's parents are celebrated as a memorial, Saints Joachim and Anne. Wednesday the 27th, in the extraordinary form, Feria. However, there is a low mass commemoration of St. Pantaleon, martyr. Matter of fact, in all three forms, Feria. Thursday the 28th, in the extraordinary form, this is an interesting combination, okay? Saints Nazarius, Celsus, not Celsius, but Celsus, okay? Victor the First and Innocent the First. The first two, Nazarius and Celsus, were martyrs. Victor and Innocent were popes. Victor was also a martyr, and Innocent was a confessor. All four of these guys share a third-class feast in the extraordinary form. And then in the ordinary form, in Anglican use, Feria. Friday the 29th, in all three forms, St. Martha, Virgin. In the extraordinary form, third class, and in the ordinary form in Anglican use, a memorial. Saturday the 30th, in the extraordinary form, Our Lady on Saturday, with a low mass commemoration of Saints Abdon and Senan, both martyrs. The Anglican use celebrates Saint Peter Chrysogolos, bishop and doctor of the church, as an optional memorial, as does the ordinary form. But in the ordinary form, it's one of two optional memorials. The other one, of course, is Our Lady Saturday. Finally, Sunday the 31st, in the ordinary form in Anglican use, 18th Sunday of ordinary time, and in the extraordinary form, 7th Sunday after Pentecost.
And we'll be back. Coming up.
This is Joey the Germ. Read and interpret the germ correctly. Your mask. And you will be germ-free.
Don't go away.
don't do this at church.
Please stand and greet Father Barry by singing our gathering song, Hail Holy Queen.
Bunch of ladies, ew! Krakowska Kielbasa, the best deli meat. Delicious, nutritious, it just can't be beat. Grill it, boil it, you will enjoy it. Try some, buy some, have it today.
Boom, boom, boom.
Some like it with mustard, some just like it plain. But all the best shoppers ask for it by name. Grill it, boil it, you will enjoy it. Try some, buy some, have it today.
Boom, boom, boom.
Each day before dinner, our hunger renewed. We hear Christos Vincent promote this great food. Grill it, boil it, you will enjoy it. Try some, buy some, have it today.
La-di-dee, la-di-doo, what did we sing today?
Well, what did we sing today? Well, today we're going to play a few cuts that are hardly ever played, if ever played at all, in your typical mainstream Roman Catholic church. But guess what? We got to play them! Hey! We're going to start with this entrance hymn from the July 10th weekend, the 15th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Here it is. There's a hymn I haven't gotten to use since my holy name days. Look at that. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, using a Welsh tune called Saint Denio. Now check out this nice little sublime psalm setting. Little psalm setting you just heard actually comes from the Chabanel Project. The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest. That was the antiphon you heard. The psalm that went with it was Psalm 65. And it was set to music by Richard Rice. Now again, this is part of the Chabanel Project, made available by Corpus Christi Watershed, and we will leave a link in the show notes to that, by the way. Offertory for the 15th Sunday was Word of God Come Down on Earth, using the tune Liebste Jesu, often associated with him, Blessed Jesus at Thy Word. It is another one I haven't... That tune I haven't used since my Precious Blood days. That goes way back, back in the 1990s. And now we're going to get to hear the communion anthem for that day. Yes. The beloved Panis Angelicus, written by César Franck. You know, the first time I ever heard this song, believe it or not, it was on a Christmas collection. Yeah, a Christmas collection. This is a Eucharistic hymn, but it just happened to fall on a Christmas collection that my parents once had. It was called The Great Songs of Christmas. This was album 3. This was a collection that was presented in the early 60s by, ready for this? Goodyear. Yes, Goodyear, the tire people. And on this collection, Panis Angelicus had opened up side 2 and was sung by the great Robert Goulet. And in the same key that I used here, the key of F. On a little side note, my parents also had album 4. And that same decade, Firestone put out their little collection, Your Favorite Christmas Carols and Your Favorite Christmas Music, depending on which volume you got. So my parents, of course, had Your Favorite Christmas Carols Volume 2 and Your Favorite Christmas Music Volume 4. Okay, now what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. The meditation that followed was Jesus, my Lord, my God, my all. That hymn needs no description. The recession of the day was Sing Praise to the Lord, originally known as O Praise Ye the Lord, set to the tune Laudate Dominum by Charles Hubert Hastings Parry. And now for the 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time, that'd be July 17th. First of all, my predecessor and good friend Dave Sylvester covered the 5 o'clock Saturday Mass, so I get exercise my privilege, not my duty, but my privilege. My privileged duty. How's that, okay? As a father. That is, give my daughter away in marriage. However, I was back for the Sunday morning masses, and with that, here's another lost 45. There you have, To the Name of Our Salvation, sung to the tune Oriel, written by Caspar Ett. The psalm was Lord, You Are Good and Forgiving, with Psalm 86 found in the Respond and the Claim collection by Owen Allstott. The offertory was Jesus I Have Promised, set to a tune that I had never seen before until just last Sunday, called Day of Rest. Interesting little tune. The communion was this. And that there you just heard Ecce Panis Angelorum by G.B. Poleri, as found in the St. Gregory Hymnal and Catholic Choir Book. No, not the 1920 edition, you won't find it there, but you will find it in the supplement of 1941 at number 317. And now here's the meditation hymn. Now, that hymn there begins with the words, "Conquering kings their titles take," and set to a metrical version of the tune Orientis Patribus, also known as Concordia Laetitia. Finally, the recessional hymn was Ye Holy Angels Bright, set to the familiar tune Dyrwal's 148th, often used with the text Rejoice the Lord is King. Now, with all that music, I need a good stiff drink. How about a beer that doesn't make you so cranky?
Shall we gather at the TV? Park our butts and watch the game. While we chug our favorite brewski, König Ludwig Weiss beer by name. König Ludwig is the right beer, a golden high quality brew. Golden, cloudy, cold and refreshing, König Ludwig, King Louie to you.
Fratres, whether you're watching baseball, football, the fights, or even something boring like tennis or golf, be sure to have a real Bavarian favorite at hand. König Ludwig Weissbier, or King Louie to you.
König Ludwig is the right beer, a golden high quality brew. Golden, cloudy, cold and refreshing, König Ludwig, King Louie to you. Hey!
1,000 points to the U.S. bishops for that pretty generous use of the word chant. We're going to talk a bit about the GIRM, G-I-R-M, the General Instruction of the Roman Missal. For some, a primer, for others, a reminder and some proper terminology. And joining me today to help sort all this out is someone who's been on an even longer hiatus than I was, our good friend, Joey the GIRM.
Hey there, how's it going?
Hey, not bad. How about you?
Not bad. Did a few speaking gigs. Got to meet Papa Joe Rotzi and Frank A. Rhines from Liturgy 911. They've been asking about you, you know.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, they're about happy as pigs and sh** to see you back on the show.
Ah, cool. I've been a bit concerned, you know. I stumbled on this website from the Diocese of Pittsburgh's worship office. And it seems that some excerpts from the GIRM relating to music, you know, just ain't sounding right. I'm hoping you can help me out.
Oh, my pleasure. Where do we start?
Well, let's start with this passage here. This is section 39 of the Pittsburgh's edition here. The faithful who gather together to await the Lord's coming are instructed by the Apostle Paul to sing together psalms, hymns, and inspired liturgical songs. See Colossians 3, verse 16. Liturgical song is the sign of the heart's joy. See Acts of the Apostles 2, verse 46. Thus, St. Augustine says rightly, to sing belongs to lovers. There is also the ancient proverb, one who sings well praise twice.
Well, my guess is they never used the words liturgical song back when the books of the Bible first came out. Although I can tell you where Pittsburgh got this from.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's a so-called English language study edition with a 2000 copyright by the NCCB Secretariat for Liturgy. But here, what the GIRM really says is this. The Christian faithful who gather together to await the Lord's coming are instructed by the Apostle Paul to sing together psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's what was written in Colossians, not this inspired liturgical song stuff. And singing, not liturgical song, but singing, is the sign of the heart's joy. Thus, St. Augustine says rightly, singing is for one who loves. There is also the ancient proverb, one who sings well prays twice.
Sounds like this was really dumbed down for those musicians and liturgists who do things simply because Napalm said so, or maybe because one of the big three publishers said so. Does that sound about right?
That's exactly right, Brian. Now, here's another section. You can go ahead and read the twisted version there. Oh, the study edition. Yeah. All things being equal, Gregorian chant should hold a privileged place as being more proper to the Roman liturgy. Other kinds of sacred music, polyphony in particular, are not in any way to be excluded, provided that they correspond with the spirit of the liturgical action and that they foster the participation of all the faithful. Since the faithful from different countries come together ever more frequently, it is desirable that they know how to sing at least some of the parts of the ordinary of the Mass in Latin, especially the profession of faith and the Lord's Prayer, set to simpler melodies. Well, okay, here's what it really says. There's a little bit of difference in language here. This one says, all other things being equal. This way here, Gregorian chant is higher up than everything else. The Pittsburgh version says just all things. All other things being equal, Gregorian chant holds, not should hold, holds pride of place because it's proper to the Roman liturgy. Other types of sacred music, in particular polyphony, are in no way excluded, provided that they correspond to the spirit of the liturgical action and that they foster the participation of all the faithful. Since faithful from different countries come together ever more frequently, it is fitting, not just desirable, but fitting, that they know how to sing together at least some parts of the ordinary, the Mass in Latin, especially the Creed and the Lord's Prayer, set to the simpler melodies. It's a little bit more imperative, as you see. Gregorian chant already holds pride of place. A little more minor note, notice it says Creed in the real version of the germ, directly from the Latin word credo. Profession of faith is fine, because the Creed really is our profession of faith. But if you really want to be more accurate, our profession of faith is the Creed. Let's check out sections 47 and 48. This might just get your blood in a boil. Oh, let's just see. Okay, let's see, section 47. After the people have gathered, the opening liturgical song, huh? The opening liturgical song begins as the priest with the deacon and ministers come in. The purpose of this liturgical song is to open the celebration, intensify the unity of those who have assembled, lead their thoughts to the mystery of the season or feast, and accompany the procession of the priests and ministers. Are you freaking kidding me? That's not what the germ says at all. Opening liturgical song? That's not what Cantus Introitus translates to. You know something, Brian? You're right. Here's what it really says. After the people have gathered, the entrance chant begins as the priest enters with the deacon and ministers. The purpose of this chant, not liturgical song, chant, is to open a celebration, foster the unity of those who have been gathered, introduce their thoughts to the mystery of the liturgical season or festivity, and accompany the procession of the priests and ministers. Now, that's more like it. But now, I can imagine what options they're given in this watered-down version that I'm reading. Oh, it's to die for if you're a liturgist. Read on, Snarky.
Okay. The opening liturgical song is sung alternately either by the choir and the people, or the cantor and the people, or sung in its entirety by the people and the choir alone. The antiphonate psalm from the Graduale Romanum, or Roman Gradual, or the simple gradual may be used, or another liturgical song that is suited to this part of the Mass. Oh, what's that mean? Here we are, gathering together. Here I come to worship you, Lord. Focus on me. I don't think so. Anyways, let's see. Suited to that part of the Mass, the day or the season that has a text approved by the Conference of Bishops. If there is no singing for the entrance, then the antiphon and the missal is recited either by the faithful, or by some of them, or by a reader. Otherwise, it is recited by the priest himself, who also may incorporate it into his introductory remarks. They missed out on a lot here.
Oh, yes, they did. There was no mention of singing from the Roman missal at all. Recited, yeah, but not singing. Watch this. This is the real germ now. The singing at this time is done either alternately by the choir and the people, or in a similar way by cantor and the people, or entirely by the people, or by the choir alone. In the dioceses of the United States of America, there are four options for the entrance chant. The antiphon from the Roman Missal or the psalm from the Roman Gradual, as set to music there or in another musical setting. Two, the seasonal antiphon and psalm of the simple gradual. Three, a psalm from another collection of psalms and antiphons approved by the Conference of Bishops or the Diocesan Bishops, including psalms arranged in responsorial and metrical form. Four, a suitable liturgical song similarly approved by the Conference of Bishops or the Diocesan Bishop. If there is no singing at the entrance, the antiphon from the Missal is recited either by the faithful or by some of them or by a lector. Otherwise, it is recited by the priest himself, who may even adapt it as an introductory explanation. Now watch this with the Psalm and Alleluia. Yeah, I noticed they actually did do it right in the Pittsburgh version by heading the next set of paragraphs chants between the readings. Yeah, but they left out some important stuff. Watch this. Read on. Okay, number 61. This is about the responsorial psalm, okay? Now, this is in the Pittsburgh edition. After the first reading comes the responsorial psalm, which is an integral part of the liturgy of the word and holds a great liturgical and pastoral importance because it promotes meditation on the word of God. Okay, so far, so good. The responsorial psalm should correspond to each reading and should customarily be taken from the lectionary. It is appropriate that the responsorial psalm be sung, at least as far as the people's response is concerned. Hence the psalmist or cantor of the song. Notice here they said song and not psalm. This will show you where it's left out, okay? The cantor of the song sings the verses of the psalm at the ambo or other suitable place. I prefer the other suitable place, which is upstairs in the choir loft where the music belongs. But anyways, however, in order that the people may be able to join in the responsorial psalm more readily, the people remain seated and listen, but also as a rule take part in singing the response, except when the psalm is sung straight through without the response. If the psalm cannot be sung, then it should be recited in a way more suited to fostering meditation on the word of God. When sung, the following may be used in place of the psalm assigned in the lectionary, either the gradual from the Roman from the Graduale Romanum, or the responsorial psalm or Alleluia from the simple gradual in the form they have in those books. So let's see. Tell me, Joey, what does the real germ tell me? Well, the first paragraph is pretty much the same, talking about the responsorial psalm and how it holds liturgical and pastoral importance because it fosters meditation on the word of God. Now, your book says it should customarily be taken from the lectionary. This one here says it should, as a rule, be taken from the lectionary. It is preferable that the responsorial psalm be sung at least as far as the people's response is concerned. Hence, the psalmist or the cantor of the psalm sings the verses of the psalm from the ambo or other suitable place. And notice this time it's the cantor of the psalm, not the cantor of the song. And you'll see why. Watch this. The entire congregation remains seated but listens, but as a rule, takes part by singing the response, except when the psalm is sung straight through without a response. Now here's a part here that was left out. In order, however, that the people may be able to sing the psalm response more readily, texts of some responses and psalms have been chosen for various seasons of the year or for various categories of saints. These may be used in place of the text corresponding to the reading whenever the psalm is sung. If the psalm cannot be sung, then it should be recited in such a way that it is particularly suited to fostering meditation on the Word of God. In the dioceses of the United States of America, the following may also be sung in place of the psalm assigned in the lectionary for Mass. Either the proper or seasonal antiphon and psalm from the lectionary, which is what I just mentioned before about psalms being more readily sung,
a sign from the lectionary for Mass, either proper or seasonal antiphonous song from the lectionary, as found either in the Roman gradual or simple gradual or in another musical setting, or an antiphon and psalm from another collection of psalms and antiphons, including psalms arranged in metrical form, provided they have been approved by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops or the diocesan bishop. Now here's the part where they left off, and this is where that thing about cantor of the song is wrong. Songs or hymns may not be used in place of the responsorial psalm. But that is one of the worst omissions right there. What that means is stuff like Make Me a Channel of Your Peace and Beagle's Things can't be used in its place. My boss, you know what my boss calls that one, by the way? Eagle's Claws. I like that one. Okay. Want to look at the Alleluia section now, number 62? Sure, why not? All right. This is the one from the Twisted Edition now, the one that the Diocese of Pittsburgh is relying on. After the reading, which immediately precedes the gospel, the Alleluia, or another song, wrong, indicated by the rubrics is sung, according to the liturgical season. An acclamation of this kind constitutes in itself a rite or act, by which the assembly of the faithful praises and welcomes and greets the Lord who is about to speak to them in the gospel and profess its faith in liturgical song. Here we go, that liturgical song crap again. The Alleluia is sung by all standing, led by either the choir or cantor, and if appropriate, it may be repeated. The verse itself is sung either by the choir or by the cantor. And I get a little bulleted notes here. I know the real edition has A and B. This edition has bulleted notes. The first bullet, the Alleluia is sung in every season outside of Lent, which is true. The verses are taken from the lectionary or the graduale, which also is true. So except for that liturgical song crap, I mean, it's really nothing different. And during Lent, in place of the Alleluia, the verse before the gospel is sung as indicated in the lectionary. It's also possible to sing another psalm or tract, as long as it's found in the graduale. So now let's replace the liturgical song with the addition. You have the real germ, Joey. Go ahead. All right. After the reading that immediately precedes the gospel, the Alleluia, or another chant, get that right, chant, indicated by the rubrics, is sung, as required by the liturgical season. An acclamation of its kind constitutes a rite or an act in itself, by which the assembly of the faithful welcomes and greets the Lord, who is about to speak to them in the gospel, and professes their faith by means of the chant. Liturgical song, sheesh. Everything else remains the same in that section. All right. Now we can take a look at the offertory section here, number 74. And you'll see again another goof with those words, liturgical song. Those hideous words. And what really bugs me is a good book called By Flowing Waters has some really nice chants in it. Uses that same thing, preparation of the gifts, antiphon, or whatever the heck it is. But preparation of the gifts, no. Okay, the proper term is still the offertory. But this is what we have in the study edition used in Pittsburgh. The procession bringing the gifts is accompanied by the liturgical song for the preparation of the gifts. Too long. Which continues at least until the gifts have been placed on the altar. The rules for this liturgical song are the same as for singing the entrance antiphon. Now, entrance antiphon is fine, okay. The liturgical song, oh, there we go again, may always be associated with the offertory rites. All right, Joey, give us the right way. All right, here we go. The procession bringing the gifts is accompanied by the offertory chant, which continues at least until the gifts have been placed on the altar. The norms on the manner of singing are the same for the entrance chant. Now again, entrance antiphon is fine, at least we're not, at least that time they didn't use liturgical song. Singing may always accompany the rite at the offertory, even when there's no procession with the gifts. A note you should be aware of is, while the preparation is an act in itself, the chant that still accompanies it
is still the offertory.
So now, let's see what gets twisted in the communion section now. All right, we're going to start off with the study edition. During the priest's reception of Holy Communion, the communion song is begun. Its function is to express outwardly the communicant's union in spirit and by means of the unity of their voices to give evidence of joy of heart and to highlight more the communitarian character of the communion procession. The song continues while the sacrament is being ministered to the faithful, but the communion song should be ended in good time whenever there is to be a hymn after communion. So let's take a look at the real version now. I see a song chant debate going on. Is that about right, Joey?
It sure is. While the priest is receiving the sacrament, the communion chant is begun. Its purpose is to express the communicant's union in spirit by means of the unity of their voices, to show joy of heart, and to highlight more clearly the communitarian nature of the procession to receive communion. The singing is continued for as long as the sacrament is being administered to the faithful. However, if there is to be a hymn after communion, the communion chant should be ended in a timely manner. So again, it's that stupid debate. But go ahead, let's talk about the options.
In the Twisted Edition, an antiphon from the Graduale Romanum may also be used for the communion song with or without the psalm, or an antiphon with psalm from the Graduale Simplex, or another suitable liturgical song approved by the Conference of Bishops may be used. If there is no singing, the communion antiphon in the Missal may be recited by the faithful, or by a group of them, or by a reader. Otherwise, the priest himself says it after he's received Holy Communion and before he gives Holy Communion to them. Okay. Now, what happens here in the study edition is that the communion proper from the Roman Missal isn't mentioned at all, except for when there is no singing. It just says communion song. Could be any goofy thing. Could be Song of the Body of Christ, you know? Okay. Watch what happens in the real edition.
In the dioceses of the United States of America, there are four options for the communion chant. The antiphon from the Roman Missal or the psalm from the Roman Gradual, as set to music there or in another musical setting. The seasonal antiphon and psalm from the simple gradual, a song from another collection of psalms or antiphons approved by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops or the diocesan bishop, including psalms arranged in responsorial and metrical forms. A suitable liturgical song chosen in accordance with number 86 above, which we just read about the communion chant beginning. This is sung either by the choir alone, or by the choir or cantor with the people. If there is no singing, however, the communion antiphon found in the Missal may be recited, either by the faithful or by some of them or by a lector. Otherwise, the priest himself says that he has received communion and before he distributes communion to the faithful.
Ah, see? So in the real edition, the antiphon from the Missal or the psalm in the gradual is mentioned as the first choice.
Well, that's right.
So, Joey, what's the verdict here? Which edition of the Gerb should we go by? This so-called study edition or the one that's been pretty much out for since 2002?
Well, definitely you want to go with the real Gerb. You must go with the real Gerb. And you don't mind leaving the link to the real Gerb in the show notes, do you?
No, actually, I'm not. I'm going to leave a link to both, and we'll let our listeners be the judge. But yes, the real Gerb is the real thing. It'd be my pleasure to show the links. Joey the Gerb, thank you for joining me, and I hope to see you again soon.
My pleasure being with you.
Ay, 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 ay. Christus spins it quite washed. In minutes it washes and rinses and spins. It'll clean out your hymnals of musical sins. Ay, 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 ay.
Christus Midget Whitewash.
Don't do this at church.
I coded.
Making their I Snark debut, here is our musical guest, Spiritual House. Go. The new band Spiritual House and their tune Living Stones. This is a band I just discovered the other day. They don't have an official website per se. They do have an album on the CD Baby website. I'll leave a link in that today's show notes. Spiritual House comes courtesy of Music Alley, musicalley.com.
We are I Snark. Bump, 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 bump.
And now, time for the good. The bad. And the ugly. And today's edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is brought to you by Liber Usualis. Yes, folks, the usual book.
And usual it is. Today we're going to have what's called the General Instruction of the Roman Missal Edition, the germ edition of the good, the bad, and the ugly, okay? And this is all pertaining specifically to Section 47 about the entrance festivities, those terminologies, okay? So we'll start with
the good.
Reading the words entrance chant in Section 47.
The bad.
Reading the words opening liturgical song in Section 47.
The ugly.
Reading the words gathering song in Section 47. Or just hearing those god-awful words at Mass.
I snark. Still.
On our next show, Seamus returns from detox and other random stuff. Stay tuned.
If you haven't done so already, come and join us at Fans of the iSnark on Facebook. Great place to discuss the latest episodes of iSnark and then some. We'll leave a link in the show notes for you, as well as on our sidebar at iSnarkMedia.blogspot.com. Oh, and by the way, don't forget, Fans of the iSnark is no longer a group site, but an actual fan site, mainly for security reasons. So you're going to find the newest link in the show notes. That's the one you want to hit. Just simply click that link onto the new page and simply hit the like button. Do it soon, though, because the old page will be shut down very soon. I want to thank you for joining us today. Tune in again for our next episode, in which Seamus O'Reilly returns to tell us of his latest journey. Until then, I'm Brian Michael Page. Peace. iSnark is brought to you in part by Krakowska Kielbasa, the official deli meat of iSnark Media, available in a Polish deli near you, and by König Ludwig Weissbier, the official beer of iSnark Media. König Ludwig, King Louis to you. And by Christus Vincent Whitewash, the official detergent of iSnark Media, guaranteed to clean out your hymnals of musical sins. iSnark, copyright 2011, Brian Michael Page. Good night.
Made on a crappy PC.